course, the subject matter is standing in our Christian culture and against this crooked culture. Amen. And some things that we want to stand for in our Christian culture and some things we want to stand against in this crooked culture. Of course, those things we talked about, the marriage, morality, and magazines, money, movies and media and music. And so those are some things that are pushing in. We're going to continue to talk about that tonight. We're going to finish up dealing with moving money. So we're in Philippians chapter 2. Read with me verses 14 and 15. Here we go. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Those are our marching orders, and we're supposed to do verse 16, holding forth the word of life. Amen. We cannot do that if we're murmuring and disputing. And so our job is, although we see a lot of wickedness around us, we can't murmur about it, can't dispute about it. We just have to shine in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. Amen. And over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, one of the things we want to shine in is the area of moving money. Read verse 10 with me. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Father, speak to our hearts tonight as we continue this area out tonight. And help us to do our dead level best, Lord, to not allow money to move us from the will of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. We do pray again for comfort for Dana Wilson's family, Lord, that those that have heard the gospel, they might get saved for it's everlasting too late. And we pray for the comfort that they need right now as well. Work in our midst now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Talking about standing against moving money. So far, we've talked about the modern marriage and mad morality and magazines. And I tell you, the devil would not love nothing more than to let money move you. The seven M's the devil tries to use to draw us into the world's mentality. The word moving, we said, means this: going in a specific direction. It means to change positions. It means to be on the go. It means to change or cause to change from one state of mind or opinion about something. And we talked about what is it about money that can move us, and various answers were there. And we did say this: sometimes the money can move us in a good way. Other times it can move us in a bad way. The key is if it moves us from what? The will of God. If money moves us from the will of God, it's a bad thing. Amen. Because God's will is most important for God's people. Amen. And the devil knows that we need money. Did you ever think about that? The devil knows we need money. And by the way, God is not against money. Did he not tell Israel to bring money into the temple? Amen. Did not the children, the New Testament Christians, give money to help out missionaries? Yes, they did. And yes, they did. So we definitely need money. So we began talking about 1 Timothy chapter number 1, because we do want to stand in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation when it comes to the matter of money. And we looked at 1 Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him in his pastoring of Ephesus, the churches at Ephesus. And also chapters 1 through 5 detail challenges Timothy would face to handle there in 1 Timothy. When you come over to chapter number 6, Paul opens up on how to deal with the servant-master relationship in verses 1 and 2. And then verses 3 through 5, he begins to deal with false teaching. One of the false teachings was that gain was what? Godliness. By the way, if you have money, does that make you godly? No, then that means President Trump would be godly. Amen. Amen. If you don't have any money, does that mean that you're godly? Amen. That doesn't mean that either. Amen. So just because you have a lot doesn't mean that you're godly. And because you don't have none doesn't mean that you're not godly either. Amen. So it all depends on your relationship with God. Notice verse number 5, because some were teaching that gain was godliness. That's what we're going to pick up there. He said, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Is anything wrong with gain, by the way? No, but it's not godliness. Amen. From self withdraw thyself, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness and having contentment is why? You are not taking anything with you, neither am I. Amen. We talked about that last week. Amen. The Pharaohs and all those guys. Amen. Nothing wrong with gain, but it does not mean godliness. And so Paul lets them know that godliness or holiness or acting like God with contentment is great gain. Amen. Why? You can be contented in whatever situation you are. What did Paul say? Be content in whatsoever state you are. Amen. He said, I've learned. By the way, you have to learn that. Amen. Do you know somebody that was rich and then they married someone that was poor? Amen. Anybody know anybody like that? Or they were not maybe so much rich, because we probably don't know anybody rich. Amen. But they were well to do. My wife and I know of one of our teenagers that she got married, and her parents were well to do. They weren't rich, but they had everything they needed. And she married a guy from, where was he from? Cambodia? Laos? He's from one of those places over there. And he was used to having this much. And she married him. And guess what happened when they got married? His mother came to stay with them. Who else came to stay with them?
Just the mom.
Just the mom. The mom came to stay with them. And she was used to, she was an only child on top of that. And her parents had everything. And so when she got married and then they had nothing, and he was okay with that. And then he brought his mom in and then they had less than that. Amen. She wasn't okay with that. She was ready to dump him and go back home to mama. She's like, look, I'm not used to this. Wasn't raised this way. We had everything. I was the only child. And now it's you and I, and we don't have anything, and we got to share nothing with mama. She was not a happy camper at all. Her mother said, if you don't stick in there with that boy. And guess what? He finally did get a better job. But when you have to come from something and go to nothing, I tell you what, it's a big change. And some of the youngsters now want to have it all right now. I know when my wife and I got married, we were that way. We wanted to have it all. Amen. I told y'all about that on Sunday, and he got us real broke real fast. Amen. But he says, but godliness is with contentment is great gain. If you're content, you don't have to worry about that. Amen. And so he begins to take the next several verses here to talk about godliness with contentment being great gain here in verses 7 through 10 and what we can venture from that. Notice what he says down in verse 7. For we brought nothing in this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be what? Content. But they that will be what? Rich, or to be well off, or to have more than what they need, amen, fall into temptation and a what? And a snare, and into what? Many foolish and hurtful lusts. Not just some, but many. Amen. That's dangerous. Amen. How do I know that? I had every credit card, I told y'all on Sunday. If they had a credit card, I went and got it. Amen. I figured that's just one less thing I got to pay for. And so I got this credit card and that credit card, and I fell into many foolish and hurtful lusts. What was the lust that I had? I desired what I could not afford. I was young and dumb, and I figured, hey, look, I want it. I'm going to get it. I'll pay for it on credit. I had no concept about interest rates and the compounding interest rates. I had no clue about that, and I took economics in high school. I knew about, you know, I'm like, look, I don't care about that. I don't have to worry about that. I remember one time I had a Discover card, and I went in, and I had just paid $25 on my bill. It was already maxed out, and I went back in to use the credit card again. She said, it's declined. I said, what do you mean? I just paid $25 on it. That didn't even cover the interest. It didn't even cover the interest. And I thought, wait a minute. I know I got one. You know, it's embarrassing when you go to the store and all your credit cards are declined. All of my credit cards was getting declined because I wasn't paying them like I should have been paying. And the interest was building up and building up. What happened? I was into foolish and hurtful lust. I mean, it was my wife's birthday. And she wanted a dryer, sewing machine. She wanted something that was expensive. I didn't have the money. I'm going to go down and get one of my cards. I went down and pulled the card out. It was declined. Right in front of her face, too. Man, I was embarrassed. I'm like, wait a minute. What happened? Foolish and hurtful lust. I thought, hey, if I got credit cards, I got money. And when you don't understand that, it says it can drown you in destruction and perdition. Amen. And I tell you, I was going down fast. Verse number 10. Look at a couple things here about this idea of moving money, because money can move you. And verse 10 describes how it can move us. And I'm sure some of y'all can identify what I'm talking about. I know all y'all ain't been good money managers all your entire life. Amen. Y'all sitting there like, I never have that happen to me. Amen. Oh, hey, I even had a liquor credit card. You know that's bad when you got a liquor. I had a credit card for liquor at the liquor store. That's bad. I mean, that's terrible. That's terrible. And on top of that, they would write your amount on it, how much you owed on it. That was even worse. That was more embarrassing because people could see how much I was drinking. Amen. But notice what he said down here in verse number 10. I want you to consider, first of all, the love factor. The love factor. Notice what it says. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Did he say the money or the love of it? The love of it. There's always a starting point. Amen. There's always a starting point. And when you come to this evil of money, it doesn't just happen. What happened? When I was growing up, I had certain things in life. And when I got married, my parents had those things. I mean, and my parents still had those things. But guess what? I didn't have those things. What do you think I thought I should have? Those things. Why? Because my parents had those things. I didn't take into consideration my parents had been working 25, 30 years to get those things. If I'd have gone back to when my mom and daddy first got married, guess what they didn't have? Those things. But guess what? Because I had those things by the time I was born, and by the time I got married, I figured I should have those things. And what happens is the lust for what we saw our parents had, who worked 20 and 30 and 15 years for, we think we should have. If you don't have the money, guess what? You can't have the things. Amen. Somebody say, y'all know what I'm talking about. There's a love factor. Consider, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, what did God say? Thou shalt love who? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now, can I love God and love money at the same time? One is going to be elevated above the other. I'm either going to love God more, I'm going to love money more. Amen. You can't love both. Just like you can't have two wives and love them both the same. You can't have two husbands and love them the same. Amen. Somebody's going to get second fiddle. And so when it comes to this, he says, this is going to be, there's going to be an uncontrolled desire for wealth when this thing first starts. It doesn't just happen. Somebody's not going to be able to control this desire because he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. What happens here? My love then moves from God over here to money, and my love for God is replaced by money. And what becomes my God by virtue? Money, because I moved my love from here, from God, over here to money. And so now the love of money now becomes my root of all evil. Now think about a root. Is the root the leaf, or is the root the fruit, or is the root the bottom? What do I get from the roots? Nutrients. I get everything from the roots. So if the love of money is the root, that means all my problems are going to extend from my uncontrolled desire to want wealth. Why do you think I got in so much credit card debt? My wife tried to warn me. She said, honey, we can't do this. I said, yeah, we can. I'm an E3. I can do this. But I tell you what, you know one thing I never did? I never did call home and say, daddy, I need some money. I said, I ain't cured this debt. I got to deal with this debt. You know what else I didn't do? I didn't file bankruptcy. Now, I'm not saying anything against anybody, but I'm saying, I said, look, I did it, and I got to deal with it. It's my fault. Huh? My wife, man, he had some rice and beans, boy. I tell you, we had a lot of rice and beans. Rice and beans go a long way, amen. And so when you look at it, there may be an uncontrolled desire for wealth. When you love something or desire it bad enough, you will do just about anything to get it, amen. You will do just about anything, amen. My wife, I went searching after her, amen. I first met her, man, and I stopped studying. Now, you cannot go to college and not study organic chemistry. Kat, you took organic chemistry, didn't you? You studied, didn't you? I didn't. What grade did you get?
I did okay.
Can I tell you? I didn't do okay. You can't take organic chemistry and not study. I mean, I was going to be an orthodontist. I went to pre-dentistry. I was taking the science. And then I met my wife, and my love shifted. And when you love something, you go after it. And I went after Carmen to the demise of my organic chemistry studies. That was the first F I ever got in my life. I was devastated because I paid good money for that. And I failed. And guess what happens when you fail a course? You got to take it again. And guess what happens when you got to take it again? You got to pay again. It's not for free. The love that I had for her caused me to neglect my studies for organic chemistry, although I enjoyed organic chemistry. Organic. It's about what it was for me. Amen. I enjoyed organic chemistry, but I didn't study it. I figured, well, I'll do all right. I've always done all right. Right. Not this time. When you love something, you're going to do anything to get it. And so the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's where it all starts from. There's always a starting point, and there's going to be an uncontrolled desire for wealth because I was not willing to put in the effort. And so when you look at this, the lust, the love factor to consider, the love of money is the root of all evil. But then look at the second part, the lust factor to consider. The lust factor, which while some coveted after. So you got the love factor to consider, but now the lust factor, which while some coveted after. The word coveted there means to stretch oneself or to reach out after or to long for or to desire. If you're going to covet something, or look at this, if I'm going to reach out for something, it definitely means to stretch oneself, to reach out, to long after. If I try to give this to Daniel, and this is a $500 bill, here you go, Daniel. What is Daniel going to have to do? He's going to have to reach out. That's what covet means. It means to stretch oneself out, to covet, to go out after it. And money is here. Money's not going to move. So guess who's got to move? What does it say? Which while some coveted after. So if the money's going here, come on, Daniel. Oh, I'm over here, Daniel. Come on, Daniel. Hey, we laugh, but some people do that. Where the money is, that's where I go. Where the money is, that's where I go. And you know what happens when you go where the money goes and God didn't tell you to go? You get out of the will of God. Which while some, they stretched them forth themselves out. They reached after it. So it means to stretch oneself, to reach out after, to long for or desire. If I can't reach what I desire, what do? I move closer to it. Perfect illustration. Abraham split up from Lot. What happened to Lot? He moved closer to where? Sodom. Before long, what happened? He pitched his tent towards Sodom, right? Then what happened? He moved inside. And then what you find next? He's sitting at the gate. What happened? He reached out for it. He coveted after it. Before long, he's in Sodom and he lost his daughters to immorality because he moved or coveted after that which he did not need to have. And so the Bible is clear here. There's a love factor to consider, but there's a lust factor. There may be an uncontrolled distraction and domination for wealth. There may be an uncontrolled desire first that leads to a distraction and a domination. It may control what I do and where I go. Amen. It might just do that. Go over to Luke 12:15. Now, is there anything wrong with money? No, nothing wrong with money at all. Matter of fact, we need money. Amen. If you don't have money to pay your mortgage bill, guess what? You're going to get booted. If you don't have money for your car, you're going to get booted. Or repossessed, I should say. Amen. Luke 12:15. Amen. Notice what that says. Sir, read that for me. Verse 15. And so Jesus said, take heed, watch out. There's a warning. He said, your life is not bound up in what you have. You know why? You can't take any of it with you. And by the way, I can live in a mansion. Does that make me somebody? I can drive a Maserati. Does that make me somebody? She was like, yeah, amen. Popular, amen. You know, it doesn't matter what I possess. It's not going to do anything for me. It's not going to make me somebody. Now, it might make me somebody in the eyes of those that value that. But will they value me as a person or will they value me for what I have? For what I have. And God says, take heed, beware. He said, it doesn't consist of the abundance of the things which you possess. Guess what? Remember when they had the fire up in Mount Lemmon? Everything they had was gone. Remember all the fires in California? All the things they possess, gone just like that. It can go so quick. What did we talk about last week? Wings. It can fly away. And so Jesus says, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists of not the abundance of things which he possesses. The word covetous there in Luke 12:15 means this. It can start to distract and dominate your thoughts. It is that which takes you away from that which you should be doing. By the way, when it comes to the things that we possess, either we possess them or they will possess you. Simple as that. It's going to possess you or you will possess it. It will be something that you use or it will use you. It's just the way it goes. That's why Jesus said, take heed, beware of covetousness. Because if you spend all your time trying to reach out for this, guess what? Who's the master? It's the master, because I'm coming to it. Last time I checked, master say come. And guess what? You come. Last time I checked, president's order and say you come. And guess what? People come. The boss says come and you come. Last time I checked, if money says come and you come, guess what? Who's the boss? The money is the boss. It's the master. And guess what I am? I'm the slave. And so Jesus says, beware of covetousness. A man's life consists not of the abundance of things which he possesses. So the lust factor, he says, which while some coveted after. Show you a good illustration of this. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 21 in the Old Testament. Of course, you guys know this guy by the name of Achan. Achan. And I want you to notice the process here. Joshua chapter 7. And of course, they were commanded not to take any of the loot. And of course, Achan took some of the loot. Joshua 7 and verse 21. And notice what it says down here in verse number 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. Now, what was his sin? He took what he wasn't supposed to take. When I, notice that first word, saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment. What did I do for Daniel? I showed him the money. And it says down there, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I what? Coveted them. That means I went after it. I made sure that I went to go and get it. He said, I coveted it, coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So what happened with this particular passage? The key words, he saw it. Then he coveted it, and then he took them. So I saw it first. Woo, I want that. And guess what? Went after it. Same thing happened to me. I saw it. I went after it. I pulled out my plastic to get it. And guess what? I was hooked. I was hooked. And so when you look at this, the warning is there. By the way, the warning was there all the way back in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Go back there with me real quick. Exodus 20 and verse 17. Of course, we know this as the Ten Commandments. What are we talking about here? Moving money. Money has a capacity to move us if we don't have it in check. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Do we need money to survive? Yes, we do. 20:17, and notice what he says down here. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. What do you think God's trying to get them to understand? Don't covet anything. Whatever you see what somebody else have, don't want it. Guess what? Godliness with contentment is still great gain. Amen. Can God bless us? Yes, he can. But God doesn't want us to look at somebody and say, ooh, Daniel's got a blue jacket. I want that blue jacket. I want one just like Daniel's got. I want one like Daniel. I want those shoes. I want shoes like Daniel. I want jeans like Daniel. I want that shirt. I want to be like Daniel. Daniel's like, no, you don't. Amen. And now, Now, what I got to do? Now, I've got to go and bring out my plastic. I got to go get this stuff. Now, wait a minute. Daniel is now, he's Trump's son. He can afford it. I'm not Trump's son. Guess what's going to happen? I'm going to find out that what he has on, I can't afford. But if I covet after, I'm going to do like Achan. I'll take it. I'll steal it. And nobody will know the wiser. I'll even take Daniel's. I'll mug him in the back alley. You laugh, but some folks will do that. They'll mug you for your stuff. Back in New Jersey, they would mug people for their sneakers. They got the Jordans and these Nikes and the $100 shoes. They would mug them and take their shoes. Now imagine mugging somebody that's the wrong size. You know, see, I can't fit these. I need to beat the boy up for no reason at all. Amen. You go sell them or something. What am I saying here? There's a warning there. He said, Achan coveted this. Amen. And God said, don't do it. Amen. Let's end with this verse here. Hebrews 13:5. Amen. And we'll finish up with this next week. That's pretty bad to steal somebody for their sneakers. Amen. Then they're the wrong size. Hebrews 13:5. We're going to end with this. Amen. And what are we talking about here? We want to make sure that we're careful not to let money move us. Hebrews 13:5. Pastor White, read that for me. Verse 5? Yes, 13:5, Hebrews. Amen. So your conversation is your manner of life. He said, let it be without covetousness. By the way, if I had plastic and I saw it, guess what? It's good as mine. I told y'all the story before. I always wanted a remote control car when I was growing up. And as soon as I got married and got my first credit card, what do you think I got? A remote control car. I remember went into Kmart and I looked up there and I said, yeah, I wanted one just like that when I was a kid. I got me a Kmart card and I pulled it out. And that car was about $70. I got that car and that car, man, I had fun with that car. Then I had kids and they broke that car. I was mad. I thought, you know how much money I paid for that car? After 20 years, I had that car, and they broke it. And I thought, I ought to dock y'all out of y'all allowance. Amen. Get my $70 back. But man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Amen. And then they had nerve to put the wheel back on it like nothing was wrong with it. I went to go play it, and the wheel fell slap off the car. And I thought, and nobody wanted to own up to who broke my car. Man, it was a nice car, too. But you know what? Let your conversation be without covetousness. I saw that car all my life, and I said, I got me some money. I want me a car. I'm going to get that car. And that car got broke. Easy come, easy go. Then had kids. What am I saying? He says, let your conversation be without covetousness. I couldn't think about a whole lot other than getting me some furniture. My wife and I first moved on base. I just said, I'm going to live like an E7, whether I can afford it or not. Yeah, it took my mom and dad, 5, 10, 15 years. By the way, folks, when I was growing up, y'all probably laugh at this, we had 2 bedrooms in our house. My mom and daddy got one. Me and my 2 sisters got the other one. And we had bunk beds. Guess who got the bunk beds? My sisters. You know where I slept? In the closet. I slept in the closet. You said, Pastor, poor thing. Yeah, poor thing. And I didn't even sleep on a bed. I slept on a cot. I had an old fold-up cot. The mattress was that thin. My sister's mattress was like that. My mattress was that thin. I slept on that cot. That's probably why I got back problems to this day. Amen. I'm going to sue my parents. No, I'm just this character slept in the closet of all places. What am I saying? My parents were teaching me, be content, son, being in the closet. When you progress to a full mattress, you'll be happy. I was 16 years old. I had to share a room with my sister, 7 years younger than me. I'm thinking, what 16-year-old boy shares a room with their sister? My mother said, you. She said, boy, you better be content that you got a bed and a room. I was fine. Y'all are teaching me some valuable lessons, amen. But I don't like these lessons right now, amen. What am I saying? Godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a love factor to consider. The love of money is the root of all evil. There's a lust factor to consider, which while some coveted after. We want to make sure that you and I have our love in check. Our love should be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. This is the first and the great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, he says. Have your love in check, and this love won't get you into trouble. Obviously, they had a problem with that here in the church that Paul was referencing, because he said, look, you need to charge these men that they be not rich or high-minded. Why? It can all leave you. It can all leave you. Amen. But what does he say? Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Why? God's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to leave us without. God knows what we have need of, and he's going to meet our needs. So as we look at moving money, our goal is not to let money move us. Amen. We'll finish up with verse 10 next week, but make sure that money is not moving you. What do we say? Covet. You will go after it. You will stretch forward. You will move, and it will be your master. Father, help us tonight as your people not to get caught up in moving money. Lord, to make sure that we are the master and the money is serving us for the glory of God, doing the things that you would have us to do. Lord, we chuckle, we laugh. Lord, we've had some experiences. I know in my own life I've had to learn some lessons the hard way. But thank you that because of your word, I can know and have discernment and have wisdom now because of the word of God. Lord, oh, would to God I'd have known these things earlier in my Christian life and in my unsaved life, that I would have known the dangers that are out there when it comes to moving money, what it can make you do. But Lord, so many are still caught up with that. Help us to have that godly discernment to know what to do. Thank you for the things that we have. Help us to be content with such things as we have, knowing that you, Lord, will never leave us, never forsake us. You said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us to set our affections on things above, to love you with all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and to let the money come and go as it may. We know we need it to survive. But Lord, may it never possess us and move us away from the will of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now as we depart in Jesus' name. Amen.